Good morning. Such a privilege to be here. It's an honor to have this opportunity each week to bring a lesson from God's Word to you all. Rodney, let me know on the way up here. He forgot to announce Cassio, Owen, and Ava are home not feeling well this morning as well. So let's be sure to keep them in our prayers. If you're a guest with us today, grateful to have you here. If you're looking by chance for a congregation to call home, this is a pretty special group of disciples that we would love for you to consider. I want to talk about Hannah this morning and her reversal of hopelessness. Over in the book of 1 Samuel, if you want to turn over there, we've kind of taken a pause in 1 Samuel in our Bible survey class this week. If you remember in kind of the timeline where this story takes place, Hannah lived in the time period of the judges under the Jewish dispensation when God dispensed his blessings to his people through his covenant he made with Moses. 1 Samuel begins some 300 plus years perhaps after the nation of Israel inherited the promised land. And so they have been there for a while now. Later in 1 Samuel, we'll see the first king arise, right? But when the book begins, we're still in the period of the judges, and there is no king. Eli is the judge as well as the priest. And so that's where we are today. Last week, we talked about being thankful in prayer. And I mentioned the need to overcome the problem of discontentment, right? That gets in our way. When we have a heart of discontentment, it's really hard to be grateful. It's hard to just flip a switch and go from complaining all day, and then I go to God in prayer, and all of a sudden I'm thankful. That's really difficult to do. We have to be more spiritually minded to be overcome discontentment. And the goal of all of this, the goal of being thankful in prayer, is ultimately to help deepen our faith in the Lord. Hannah's story and her example teach us a lot that we can apply to that idea of having a thankful heart when we go to God in prayer. She teaches us about what true gratitude looks like, I think, and how that can overflow into other areas of our life. And so I was thinking about this, kind of, you know, thinking about the lesson last week and the Bible class material and how much this kind of goes together. So I thought this would be a good thing for us to look at today and how to combine those ideas. As always, though, even though Hannah is in our title this morning, God is always the main figure, right? He's the main person in every Bible story. And so I just want to highlight that. We never want to forget that. Sometimes we can get almost too distracted by just the events and forget that God is the main figure and his hand is in all of this. And so with that said, let's begin by reading the first 6 verses of 1 Samuel chapter 1 and pay special attention to what God is doing here. 1 Samuel chapter 1, verses 1 through 6. Now there was a certain man of Ramathaim Zophim of the mountains of Ephraim, and his name was Elkanah, the son of Jeroham, the son of Elihu, the son of Tohu, the son of Zuth, an Ephraimite. And he had 2 wives. The name of one was Hannah, the name of the other was Peninnah. Peninnah had children, but Hannah had no children. This man went up from his city yearly to worship and sacrifice to the Lord of hosts in Shiloh. Also the 2 sons of Eli, Hophni and Phinehas, the priests of the Lord, were there. And whenever the time came for Elkanah to make an offering, he would give portions to Peninnah his wife and to all her sons and daughters. But to Hannah he would give a double portion, for he loved Hannah, although the Lord had closed her womb. And her rival also provoked her severely to make her miserable, because the Lord had closed her womb. And so the first thing we want to look at is God allows unwanted circumstances, right? He is allowing unwanted circumstances in Hannah's life. Hannah's barrenness was an unfortunate circumstance. Sadly, I think we forget that sometimes today. Right? I think that's lost on a lot of people, of the idea of being without child as being a negative thing. The term unwanted pregnancy that is used so often today is a really heartbreaking idea from a biblical perspective, right? There should not be such a thing as an unwanted pregnancy. Children are a gift from God. And so for married couples unable to have children, that can be a real challenge to face. People face it all the time. It's not that nobody's, you know, has done anything wrong, but it's a challenge. This is an unfortunate, unwanted circumstance here. And the main point for us is God allowed Hannah to be barren. Verse 5 and 6 says the Lord closed her womb. He allowed this to happen. He knew it happened. For whatever his reasons are, God chose to withhold the blessing of children from Hannah. Just think about that for a minute, that God chose to withhold his blessings. Don't confuse his blessings with his love, right? Those are not one and the same. He never withholds his love from people. Romans 8 makes it very clear that nothing will keep you from the love of God. However, there are times when God himself might choose to keep certain blessings from you for his own reasons. Faith requires we trust God, even when we don't know why he's withheld blessings from us. We don't understand maybe his process, but that's where faith comes into play, is trusting him anyway. Hannah's barrenness, it has other consequences that come along with it as well, right? When a couple is unable to have children nowadays, you can go see doctors and have tests run, and they might be able to find some solutions, perhaps, to help you have a child. There were no such doctors in Hannah's day. They didn't have the same type of tests that they can perform now, or medications, or whatever. And so instead, Hannah's just left to stew over this and to wonder why, if, when, and all the myriad of questions that we are so good of thinking up on our own. And if her personal mental anguish wasn't enough, there's another woman involved, right? Her husband's other wife, who has children. And she chooses to torment Hannah over this. Side note, whenever you read about a man with multiple wives in the Bible, expect trouble. There's always trouble involved when that's the case, right? Because that's not God's plan. So this isn't excusing that. There's trouble here. Of course there's trouble when you have two wives involved. But again, God allows this. He knows what's going on. He sees Peninnah picking on Hannah, and he allows it. We're not told how long this lasted exactly, but verse 7 says year by year. So we get the idea of at least a few years where this is allowed to take place. And in Hannah's case, this leads to a sense of hopelessness. We have this idea of hopelessness, but again, God's at work. God knows what's going on. And in fact, in allowing these unwanted circumstances, God is also allowing for a certain chain of events to unfold through these circumstances. Let's go ahead and read verses 7 through 10. So it was year by year when she went up to the house of the Lord that she, Peninnah, the other woman, provoked her, Hannah. Therefore she wept and did not eat. Then Elkanah, her husband, said to Hannah, "Why do you weep? Why do you not eat? And why is your heart grieved? Am I not better to you than 10 sons?" So Hannah arose after they finished eating and drinking in Shiloh. Now Eli the priest was sitting on the seat by the doorpost of the tabernacle of the Lord. And she was in bitterness of soul and prayed to the Lord and wept in anguish. We'll pause right there for a moment. And I just want you to see that her circumstances caused her discontentment. Hannah's circumstances caused her discontentment. Again, we don't know how this played out over time. We're not sure how many years this seems to go on. But this is a problem that seems to be getting bigger in Hannah's mind. And that makes sense. As the years unfold and you realize you've been barren for so long, you start to, the hopelessness grows and you think, if I haven't had a child by now, it's probably never going to happen. Contrary to popular wisdom, time does not heal all wounds. It just doesn't. Sometimes time makes things worse. By every indication we have, Hannah's a good, godly woman. She's She's a human, so I'm sure she, I know she messed up, she sinned, but she is a good, godly woman, but she's not able to overcome the discontentment brought about by her childlessness. And so in verse 7, we see Hannah cry. And personally, I really doubt this is the first time Hannah wept over this. She lost her appetite over it, we're told. Everyone else is eating. Hannah didn't eat. You ever been there? You ever been so upset that you're just not hungry? You have no desire to eat? Her grief is so overwhelming, she can't hide it. Her husband sees it, right? He doesn't really know what to do. He's in the position a lot of husbands are in sometimes where we want to help, but we're really kind of stumped as to what to do. We'll read about Eli in a moment, and he sees her grief as well. Verse 10 describes her as being in bitterness of soul, it says. English Standard says she was deeply distressed. So she's so hurt. She's not just crying. She wept in anguish, we're told. Can you sympathize with Hannah at least a little bit? Maybe you don't know. Maybe you don't understand this exact situation. But can you sympathize with going through something this heartbreaking? And to top it off, as is Hannah's case, having no support from anyone involved. I mean, not that her husband is not trying, but she's not getting the support that she needs, right, from people. The priest is not supportive, as we go on to see. And the other woman's just tormenting her. I hope we can sympathize with what she's going through. But we need to look at how she responds, and this is really big. First, she continues to worship. She doesn't forsake worshiping God over this. She continues to go to the tabernacle with her husband to worship. But second, and most importantly maybe, for our lesson today, she prays. Out of her discontentment, she prays. And so her discontentment, in this case, motivates her prayer. Let's continue to read verses 11 down through 17. Then she made a vow and said, O Lord of hosts, if you will indeed look on the affliction of your maidservant and remember me, and not forget your maidservant, but will give your maidservant a male child, then I will give him to the Lord all the days of his life. No razor shall come upon his head. And it happened as she continued praying before the Lord that Eli watched her mouth. Now Hannah spoke in her heart, only her lips moved, but her voice was not heard. Therefore Eli thought she was drunk. So Eli said to her, how long will you be drunk? Put your wine away from you. But Hannah answered and said, no, my lord, I'm a woman of sorrowful spirit. I've drunk neither wine nor intoxicating drink, but have poured out my soul before the Lord. Do not consider your maidservant a wicked woman. For out of the abundance of my complaint and grief, I have spoken until now. Then Eli answered and said, go in peace, and the God of Israel grant your petition, which you have asked of him. Make no mistake about it. Hannah is praying because she is discontent. She's praying about circumstances in her life that God is allowing to take place that have led to her discontentment. She describes her circumstances as affliction in verse 11. She told Eli in verse 15, she's a woman of sorrowful spirit. She admits in verse 16, she's praying out of the abundance of her complaint and grief. And this is key for us to take away this morning. Sometimes we can be discontent about the things of this life that are just earthly issues, and we have misplaced desires, right? And we can let those misplaced desires lead us to discontentment, and we just kind of got to change our way of thinking about that. But sometimes discontentment comes with natural circumstances of life. Even from wanting good things, from wanting the blessings of God that we don't have, we can let that lead us to discontentment. When you're feeling discontent, we need to do exactly what Hannah did and take that to God in prayer. Contentment is tricky. We've talked about it a number of times here in recent months. In Philippians 4, verse 11, really, really important passage about contentment. Paul writes, I have learned in whatever state I am, to be content. He says, I've learned to be content. I've not always been content. I've had to learn this lesson. Contentment is something that every individual has to learn for himself or herself. I wish it's like, you know, once you decide to follow Jesus and you rise from your baptism, and then you just are miraculously content and everything in life is just rosy and perfect, right? But that's not the way it goes. It's not like all of your unwanted circumstances just float away the moment you give your life to Christ. And that contentment is no longer a struggle. No, God allows for thorns in the flesh in the lives of faithful Christians. But it's through our relationship with God, through his word, through our prayers, that he gives us the opportunity to learn to be content. A few verses earlier in Philippians 4, verse 6, we looked at this last week as well. We read, be anxious for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God. When you're anxious, when you're worried, when you're discontent, you need to take that to God in prayer. With that said, if you think back to just last Sunday, I preached that we need to approach God in prayer with a thankful heart, a heart of thanksgiving and gratitude. Just like Philippians 4, 6 says, right? With thanksgiving. So is that message inconsistent with what we're talking about here today? Is that inconsistent with Hannah approaching God out of her discontentment? I just preached we need to be praying out of thanksgiving, and here Hannah is praying out of her complaint. So what is it? Was I preaching something false? Or is Hannah sinning? I don't think it's either. I don't think it's either. And I think this is some of the value we can take away from Hannah's story. Now, if I were to describe her prayer that we read there, and we don't have all the words, I'm sure, but from what we're given, if I was to describe that prayer, thankful is not the term I would use. It's not the term that jumps out, oh, that is a thankful prayer, right? That's not how that strikes me at first glance, for sure. This is a prayer of heartache and sorrow, for sure. But thankfulness? But we have to remember one thing about emotions. Emotions are not exclusive. It's not like we only experience one emotion at a time to the exclusion of all other emotions. Hannah's prayer demonstrates to us the complexity of a believer's heart and the complexity of our prayer life to God. And so while Hannah's prayer absolutely was a sorrowful prayer, I contend she still maintained a heart of gratitude. Her prayer included thanksgiving. And we've already read where. Go back to verses 10 and 11. She was in bitterness of soul and prayed to the Lord and wept in anguish. Then she made a vow and said, O Lord of hosts, if you will indeed look on the affliction of your maidservant and remember me and not forget your maidservant, but will give your maidservant a male child, then I will give him to the Lord all the days of his life, and no razor shall come upon his head. Do you see the gratitude there? This is a demonstration of what we talked about last week with level 3 gratitude. Level 3 gratitude is when you are moved to show appreciation, to return a favor, return kindness for something. It's when you think, what can I do for God? And this is exactly what Hannah does in this prayer. This is exactly what she does. She offers to give her son's life to the service of the Lord, not to just have a son for her own selfish benefit and pleasure. Thankfulness is more than just saying the words, thank you, or I appreciate it, right? I don't read the word thank you. I don't read appreciate or gratitude or grateful or any of those words in her prayer. But true gratitude is much deeper than just saying thanks. True gratitude is seen here in this desire to return to show her appreciation to God, not just offering him lip service. So one quick kind of side note to address here. If this sounds like bargaining, this isn't bargaining, right? This isn't Hannah bargaining with God. It's not our place to bargain with God, to try to make our own deals, our own individual covenants with him that we create the terms of, right? It would be inappropriate if Hannah prayed, God, if you will just give me a son, then I will be faithful to you all the days of my life. The implication there being, if you don't give me a son, then I ain't going to be faithful to you anymore. I'm done. I'm not going to come up to Shiloh. I'm not going to worship you if you don't give me this blessing. That's bargaining. That's highly inappropriate. That is not a heart of gratitude. That's not what's going on here. Our faithfulness should never be dependent or contingent on God answering my prayers the way I want them to be answered. Hannah was faithful before this, and we have every reason to believe she would be faithful after this, even if she didn't get her prayer answered the way she wanted. What Hannah's doing here is making supplication to God, asking him for something, but she asks for it with a heart of thanksgiving, in that she's offering to demonstrate appreciation to God by taking God's blessing, a son, but doing what with it? Returning God's blessing to him. See, whenever we make an offering to God, whether it's our time, our money, or whatever, all we're doing is giving back to God what he gave us in the first place. That's all we're doing. And that's what Hannah's offering to do here. It's not about bargaining with God to obtain more blessings. Your faithful obedience should never be used as a means of bribing God or threatening God. No, this is about if you're going to make supplication before the Lord, if you're going to ask God for something, you better make supplication with the heart that wants to show appreciation for that thing or that circumstance. Now, Hannah's story doesn't end here, but sometimes this is where our story ends. Sometimes we have this circumstance and we pray to God to make it better, to give us his blessing, to take it away, whatever. Our discontentment will lead us to prayer, and we might even pray in a thankful heart, but the circumstance might not change. And again, we won't go back and read it, but think Paul in 2 Corinthians 12 with this thorn in the flesh. God's answer was no. And Paul was fine with that. In Hannah's case, when we stop reading here, her circumstance has not changed yet, has it? She's still without child. The situation causing her discontentment is the exact same when we stop reading here. Still without child, she just got done talking with Eli. He very insensitively accuses her of being drunk. She explains her prayer to him. He tells her, go in peace in verse 17. Look at verse 18. She said, let your maidservant find favor in your sight. So the woman went away and ate, and her face was no longer sad. Her face was no longer sad. This woman who lost her appetite earlier has her appetite back. Her face has changed. Her attitude has changed. This is where Hannah's hopelessness reverses. Hannah found hope in prayer. While the cause of discontentment had not changed, her attitude had changed. Why? Why? I mean, all she did was pray. All she did was pray. That's exactly why her attitude changed. Turn back to Philippians chapter 4 one more time, please. Philippians 4. I want to read verses 6 and 7 again. Keeping Hannah in mind when you read this. Philippians 4, verse 6. Be anxious for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God. Verse 7, and the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, will guard your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. All she did was pray. And she found hope. Hannah shows us what it means to take our anxieties to God with the heart of thanksgiving and to receive God's peace. Her face was no longer sad. And again, sometimes that's exactly where our story ends with a particular situation. That's it. It's not where it ends with Hannah, though. And so, keeping God in mind in all this, we see God respond to her thankful prayer. Understand, God's response to your prayers might not be the same as his response to my prayers or someone else's, right? He knows each of us better than we know ourselves. And so he's going to answer each prayer in a way that is best for you. And what's best for you might not be best for me or best for someone else in another pew. He knows what you need better than you know what you need. And so God, out of his love for you, might not give you what you ask for, because what you ask for might not, in fact, be best for you. There's no such thing as unanswered prayers. There's just prayers that aren't answered how we'd like them to be or when we'd like them to be. In Hannah's case, God blessed her with a son. And again, I doubt this is the first time she's prayed for that. It's the first time we read about, but I highly doubt it's the first time that she prayed to God for it. But it took this time for God to answer it the way she wanted it to be. He blessed her with a son. Let's read verses 19 and 20. Then they rose early in the morning and worshiped before the Lord. There she is, still worshiping, still without child, but still worshiping. And returned and came to the house at Ramah. And Elkanah knew Hannah his wife, and the Lord remembered her. So it came to pass in the process of time that Hannah conceived and bore a son, and called his name Samuel, saying, because I have asked for him from the Lord. So as the story continues, we're reminded that thankfulness means showing appreciation. Remember when Hannah prayed in verse 11, she vowed to give her son to the Lord. Now the boy's here. What's she going to do, right? It's time for her to fulfill her vow. Jump down to verse 24, and we'll finish out 1 Samuel 1. Now when she had weaned him, she took him up with her with three bulls, one ephah of flour and a skin of wine, and brought him to the house of the Lord in Shiloh, and the child was young. Then they slaughtered a bull and brought the child to Eli. And she said, oh, my Lord, as your soul lives, my Lord, I am the woman who stood by you here praying to the Lord. For this child I prayed, and the Lord has granted me my petition, which I asked of him. Therefore, I also have lent him to the Lord. As long as he lives, he shall be lent to the Lord. So they worship the Lord there. When we go to God in prayer with a heart of thankfulness, with level 3 gratitude, looking to return appreciation, to return kindness to God, we better be sure to follow through. We better be sure to follow through in our intentions. If you pray to God for a child, you better raise that child to know the Lord. If you pray to God for a job, you better shine your light amongst your coworkers, amongst your customers, whoever. And when you make a contribution on the first day of the week, you better remember you pray to God for that job to give you those financial means in the first place. When you make supplication to God, don't forget to use God's blessings to return gratitude to him. If you pray for good health, why? Just so you can go have fun again and you know, recreate the way you want to recreate? What benefit is your health going to be for God? Are you praying for good health so you can be in a position to serve God by serving others. When God blesses us, we need to be ready to demonstrate our appreciation, just like Hannah did. And just like Hannah, I think we can experience the same result. Her appreciation brings joy. It led her to joy. Look at the first couple verses of 1 Samuel chapter 2. Hannah prayed and said, "My heart rejoices in the Lord. My horn is exalted in the Lord. I smile at my enemies because I rejoice in your salvation. No one is holy like the Lord, for there is none besides you, nor is there any rock like our God." She continues to offer this beautiful prayer down through verse 10, a much different prayer than what we saw in chapter 1. We won't spend a lot of time there. It kind of foreshadows some of 1 and 2 Samuel, interestingly. But here we have this woman who deserves so much of our sympathy in chapter 1, right? So much heartache she experienced, and here she is rejoicing. Did you see what she rejoices for? Look very carefully in verse 1. It doesn't say, "My heart rejoices in my son." Doesn't say that, does she? She says, "My heart rejoices in the Lord." She's not just thankful for her blessings. She's thankful to God for blessing her. When you receive a blessing in your life, particularly when your prayers are answered, basically the way that you were hoping they were answered, be very careful to make sure you're finding joy in the source of those blessings and not just the blessings themselves. Don't detach the blessings from the one that gives the blessings. I want to highlight verses 4 and 5. "The bows of the mighty men are broken. Those who stumbled are girded with strength. Those who were full have hired themselves out for bread. The hungry have ceased to hunger. And the barren has borne 7. She who has many children has become feeble." Hannah is describing the reversal of hopelessness. God has the ability to turn the tables, to make the mighty, to make them weak, and to take the weak and make them strong. "Even the barren has borne 7, she says. We read similar language to this in the New Testament. Jesus said, "He who is greatest among you shall be your servant. Whoever exalts himself will be humbled, and he who humbles himself will be exalted." That's what God offers us through prayer. Life can be hard, and if you live long enough, you're going to face unwanted circumstances. Sometimes, though, you need that thorn in the flesh. Sometimes God is allowing that thorn in the flesh for you to eventually find a different blessing, maybe, than what you expected. You will find hope. You will find true joy when you appreciate God and learn to trust Him. And when you find God, He offers the greatest hope, right? The greatest hope, eternal hope, where we will never again experience any unwanted circumstance, and where we will get to experience unlimited joy for eternity. We read a little bit more about Hannah's story over in verse 18, 1 Samuel 2. Just finish it out, verse 18 through 21. "But Samuel ministered before the Lord, even as a child, wearing a linen ephod. Moreover, his mother used to make him a little robe and bring it to him year by year when she came up with her husband to offer the yearly sacrifice. And Eli would bless Elkanah and his wife and say, 'The Lord give you descendants from this woman for the loan that was given to the Lord.' Then they would go to their own home. And the Lord visited Hannah so that she conceived and bore 3 sons and 2 daughters. Meanwhile, the child Samuel grew before the Lord." In Hannah's case, God was not done blessing her. He wasn't done. There's more to come. Remember, Hannah's just praying for one child. She got what she wanted. She was good. She was content with that. But God decided to give her 5 more. The reality is we have a very limited view of what God is capable of. We limit His power too often. And Hannah reminds us that he is capable of far more than we realize sometimes. We're reminded of the power of prayer and the incredible hope that God is able to offer to the hopeless. But she found it again by going to him in prayer. There's great joy to be found in hope. Great joy. Each of us have different circumstances we find ourselves in. But regardless of your circumstance right now, the blessing of hope is offered to everyone. It's available to everyone if you can learn to be grateful to God, even under difficult circumstances. God promises the hope of salvation, the expectation of salvation to all who are obedient to him. So again, no matter where you are now, that hope is available to you. If you believe in him and are willing to confess Jesus as the Son of God, if you're willing to repent and be baptized to have your sins washed away, you can find that hope. If you are a Christian but you're living unfaithfully and you need help getting back there, you need prayer, you need support, if we can help you in any way get right with God, please let us know as we stand and sing.